Welcome to the South Cars Conference number 96140. Connection established.
Good evening, everyone. This is the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the South Cars organization and further follows the rules outlined in SCC Part 97 in Good Amateur Practices. This SCAR server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System provided by KB8ZGL, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off this system and establish your contact direct so that the net may continue. In fairness to all, short-time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they entered the system. Information regarding our HF operation may be found at www.southcars.com and for our digital operation at www.voip.southcars.com. Your net control for this session is myself, KJ4PUJ. My name is Tony, and I'm located in the Florida Keys. With a temperature of 72 degrees Fahrenheit and approximately 23 degrees centigrade. Prior to starting the net this evening, I would like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled at this time. Hearing nothing, do we have anyone celebrating a birthday this week? Please call now, suffix only. Hearing nothing at this time, I'm going to briefly turn it over to the TNT net manager, Pete, VE2XPL, for any administrative messages. Good evening, Pete. How are things in Montreal?
Well, good evening to you, Tony, KJ4PUJ, and everybody who's listening. I'd like to welcome y'all to the TNT Open Forum for those who are there live, and also welcome to the Waveguides podcast if you're listening via podcast. Welcome to our listeners. Thanks for spending the time with us tonight. I'd like to remind everyone that we are recording tonight's episode, and that's available via the South Cars website, voip.southcars.com, and you'll see the link on the left-hand side along with the other downloads. If you're listening via podcast, you can listen directly via the HTTP waveguides.ca. There you go. I don't have any other announcements in front of me right now, actually. My daughter just came in and gave me a hug, and I didn't have time to prepare anything, so she just got back from Sparks. It is minus 10 degrees Celsius in Montreal, 14 degrees Fahrenheit. We had lots of snow in the last 2 days. Well, lots. That's relative. 6 or 8 inches, depending on where you were. So it's a good snowfall. Made everything white and pretty again, and the kids love it. So 6 to 8 inches is a medium amount for us. It's very nice indeed. So thanks for being there tonight, gentlemen, and I look forward to the presentation. Back to net control.
Thanks, Pete, and thanks for everything you do for the TNT program and for South Cars. I'm going to break with you, and tonight's topic is back to basics. Our guest speaker this evening is South Cars net manager and outstanding technical advisor, Gordon from Florida, KY6V. How are you, sir?
Hanging in there. Thank you very much, Tony. Good evening to you, Pete. Good evening to everybody that's assembled. This is Gordon, KY6V. We're squawking to you from Central Florida, a little bit inland from Daytona Beach. As Tony's mentioned, we're going to start on a sort of a series here on our TNT sessions. That'll run probably about 3 months, first Thursday of each month, and it's called Back to Basics. It's an article that I put together back, believe it or not, in February of 2004. It's just as germane today as it was 6-plus years ago. And we'll give you a little heads up as we go along on why we're doing this and why we think that it's important. To several of us, or a number of us, I should say, it is becoming increasingly alarming that our amateur radio fraternity may be well turning into plug-and-play operators. Now, don't get mad at me for saying that, but it sort of looks like that's the way it's going. Since the beginning of time, hams have contributed greatly to the furthering of technology and obviously community service support. It is felt by the writer that part and parcel of this trend is due to the design movement within the industry for microchip technology, highfalutin technical terms, an overabundance of acronyms. Let's start with the basics. Understanding the general overview concepts may well heighten your appetite for more knowledge. Let's hope so. Allow me to refresh the system. And Tony, if you're ready, I'll go into the meat of the subject for this evening. Over.
Of course, sir. And just a quick note before you get started, folks. If you have any questions or comments along the way, if you don't understand something, please put a note in the text box, and Gordon or myself will do our best to get to you just as timely as we can. And make sure you take some notes along the way. If, as Pete mentioned, you need to go back and listen to the program, it is being recorded. And I would also mention that this material is available from the VOIP website at voip.southcars.com. Having said that, sir, and giving you enough time to take a sip of your beverage, the show is yours.
Muchas gracias, mi amigo. I assume that that's probably appropriate down there in the Florida Keys. Okay, this is Gordon, KY6V, and we're going to be starting with a fundamental basic building block of frequency. You know, everything starts with frequency in this hobby, and we'll be discussing that in some detail. Frequency is defined as the number of repetitions per unit of time of a complete waveform, as of an electronic current. And that's right out of the dictionary, guys and gals. One complete waveform, when I was a kid, was called a cycle. Now they call it a hertz. I need to tell you that my father, who had been a ham since 1921, said that when they changed it to a hertz, it really hurt. It really hurt him. Well, they have some fancy names for all of this, like sinusoidal waves, alternating current, positive and negative excursions, and so on. Let's not worry about this. It's AC. It's alternating current. Let's look at frequency as a matter of time. The basic building block is 1 second. 1 hertz, and only 1 hertz in 1 second equals 1 hertz. If there were 2 cycles or hertz in 1 second, that would equal 2 hertz. If there were 3 cycles or hertz in a second, then there would be 3 hertz. So if you stop to think about this, a frequency of 1,000 hertz, abbreviated HZ, that's a large H and a small Z, also known as 1 kilohertz, would mean that there would be 1,000 of these waveforms occurring during a period of 1 second. If you were a general class ham or a higher operator in the 40-meter band at 7,200 kilohertz, you'd be transmitting a signal frequency of 7,200,000 waveforms a second. Now, on the other hand, if you were operating in the 2-meter band at 146.000 megahertz, you would be transmitting a signal frequency of 146 million waveforms a second. Now, aren't you glad you're not paying for the gas in that gas tank? Let me refresh the system, please. Be right back with you. Okay, for the mathematically inclined, and those who will like to take this study further in the future, you can determine the amount of time a particular wave, that is a cycle slash hertz, takes up in a second. You simply divide 1 second by the selected frequency. Example, 1 divided by 1,000 equals 0.001 milliseconds per hertz. So you can see they're starting to move along. Downstream, you might have fun with an oscilloscope or freeze that hertz on the CRT display and examine it further. Well, I've said all of this to say this. By understanding frequency, understanding the different ranges of frequency, being able to create a frequency of your choice, to be able to modify a frequency to yet another, to make it do your bidding, is where it's all about. The human ear, particularly in the younger years, is capable of hearing frequencies from approximately 20 hertz to about 20 kc. And as you get older and drier behind the ears like yours truly, your upper frequency range decreases. I might say at the age of 74, I can still hear the horizontal flyback transformer on a TV set that operates at 15,750 hertz. Above this range, some animals can still hear, some as high as 30 to 40 kilohertz. Case in point would be the dog whistle, producing a frequency above 20 kc, that we cannot hear and the dog can. As we progress higher in frequency, more hertz per second, we travel through areas that are called or classified as very low frequency, high frequency, very high frequency, ultra high frequency, and up through light. All of these frequencies are usable in just about all cases are in use. These frequencies are generally called RF frequencies or radio frequencies. And a radio transmitter is a device that is designed to transmit on a given frequency of choice above that which the human ear can hear. Conversely, that frequency of choice above our normal hearing can be converted back so as to be deciphered by our ears in the form of a radio receiver. So at this point, we're going to stop on frequency before we continue into a little further jogging on the human voice and the frequencies that are involved. This is KY6V for South Cars. I'm going to turn it back to Tony and let him parley any questions that may be on the floor. Tony, please.
Thank you, Gordon. KJ4PUJ here. Folks, at this time, if you have any questions about the first section that we've covered tonight, please either call now with your suffix only, or put a question mark or a comment, something in the text box. Please come now. Okay, Gordon, looks like they're all taking notes and probably Googling as you speak, but there's nothing in the text box and nothing in the voice, so let's move on.
Googling as we speak. Isn't that a nice, handy thing? You know, I am so surprised, Tony, that no matter what question may pop up on my noggin, I can normally, just about 100% of the time, at least 99.9, find an answer out there in this world of internet travel. All right, guys and gals, we're going to go into the section now talking about the human voice, since we're talking about frequencies. The human voice and the way it works is a subject in itself. Let's simply say the whole matter by just saying that after the vocal cords, the resonant cavities, the lips and the mouth do all their things, a sound is produced at a given frequency or group of frequencies. Now, the average male produces a group of fundamental frequencies in the range of 60 to 250 hertz. At 60 to 250 hertz. This coupled with the associated harmonics during speech produces what we hear. Now, harmonics are even or odd multiples of the original frequency. We can't get away from this word frequency, and you're going to hear an awful lot of it through this program. As an example, a 60 hertz frequency would have a second harmonic at 120 hertz, a third harmonic at 180 hertz, a fourth harmonic at 240 hertz, and a fifth harmonic at 300 hertz, and so on and so forth. Now, harmonics play an interested and needed function in the area of electronics, music, and even in the intelligibility of the spoken word. What's interesting here is that scientific study has proven that the usable frequency range of the human voice is between 60 and 7,500 hertz. However, it is found that the majority of energy, that's the loudness, amplitude, is concentrated in a four major grouping of harmonic clusters. You may want to take a note of this because this is very interesting in our design aspect. These groupings are 500, 1500, 2500, and 3500 hertz. So with this information available to us, it is now gives us the ability to design electronic equipment that fits these parameters. At this point, let me just refresh for a second, please. This is KY6V Gordon and the TNT South Cars production for this evening. I'd like to talk about microphones for a moment, if I may. I find this an interesting area of discussion. Many times people change microphones like others change their shorts. They do this in an attempt to improve their sound. In most cases, it's not the mic, but the associated circuits that are the cause of the problems. Microphones come in many types and sizes, carbon, crystal, dynamic, capacitive, electric, and so on. But they all do the same thing. A microphone, by design, transforms audible sound waves into electrical impulses. This is accomplished as the frequency, there you go again with the word frequency, you can't get away from it, of the sound wave hits the receive side of the microphone cartridge, making it vibrate in unison to the incoming wave and produces an electronic equivalent on its output side. So let me just refresh. I don't want to time anybody's repeater timers out here. Stand by. Okay, this electrical signal then is routed to the input of some other device from the microphone. This other device could be a bullhorn, a PA system, a tape recorder, or even the input to a radio frequency transmitter. And the latter is obviously our choice for the subject matter here on this course, or this get-together. It is important to keep several basic things in mind. Please think about this. What the end result should be when using a microphone is to ensure that what it is hearing on the receive side of the cartridge is being faithfully reproduced in all respects on the output side. Now, the buzzword in the industry is a flat response. This means that the sine wave is not distorted in any manner as to frequency, shape, or amplitude. Microphones, by their very design, are low output devices. It requires subsequent stages of amplification to make its output usable for most applications. And we will be discussing this interfacing and the general basic concepts on RF transmitters in the following subject. So with that, this is Gordon, KY6V. I'm going to turn it back to our net control host this evening, Tony, and see where you would like to take it from there. Questions and answers and so on. Over.
Okay, Gordon, I'm going to start with a question that that popped into my head. Since this is a back to basics program, and we as South Cars have people relatively new in the hobby, and we have people that have been ham operators for many, many years, for someone that tends to be towards the newer side of the amateur radio community, how would you recommend a cost-benefit analysis for them when choosing a microphone, whether it be for either VoIP operations through a PC or through an HF rig?
It's an interesting question, Tony, and a very good one. KY6V here. Well, in all practical aspects, and in most cases today, when somebody goes out and buys a radio, they get a microphone with it. That microphone is set up to be the right impedance for the radio, obviously, because it's coming as a package. In most cases, it may be a handheld, at which point somebody may want to change from the handheld feature to a desk mic. There's an awful lot of good ones out there, some manufacturers of microphones that go back to Marconi. Aztec is good. Heil has come up with some excellent microphones, and on and on and on. There's some disadvantages to using a desk mic as opposed to a hand mic. You have to stay on top of it. If you wander your head too much, your audio level is up and down, so on and so forth. There are even microphones that Heil in particular manufactures for DXing. What they do is they cut out the bass response in the cartridge so that you have more of a higher pitched tone to your voice, like your shorts are tight, and that breaks through a DX pileup a lot easier than if you have a full dynamic mic broadcast quality from 0 to 20K. So to summarize, in most cases the microphone will come with a radio, and that's more than adequate. It's where the person wants to take it from there. Tony from KY6V, over.
Roger, sir. KJ4PUJ here. Yeah, I wanted folks to understand that, you know, what we'll be covering in this series and what you're presenting, you know, it comes with over 60 years experience, but there are some practical sides to that, and I was hoping to generate people's thought that, okay, let me take this and this, you know, beginning piece of knowledge here, or maybe it's an item that's a bit rusty, and start putting into practical application. So you answered my question quite well. Thank you.
You're quite welcome, Tony. Do we have any other comments out there at the moment? Any questions, please, before we continue? KY6V. All right, hearing nada. Be right back, folks. That's a text message out of XPL. Take your time, Pete, and thank you. We're going to go and expound and expand on this frequency business for a moment as we start to get into RF transmitters. Now, I know that most of you are running transceivers, a combination of a receiver and a transmitter within one package, but the design features are basically the same. You have two operating systems in one case. And I'd like to start with the oscillator, and I'd like to run that right through to a final amplifier to give you just a general overview of how things go. And let me refresh before I do that so my timer is working right. All right, everything, and I mean everything, in a transmitter starts with the oscillator stage. This is the circuit from which all other frequencies are derived and must exhibit stability beyond question. There's just a whole bunch of oscillators. Colpitts, Hartley, crystal-controlled variable frequency oscillators, voltage-controlled oscillators, phase-lock loops, and on and on and on it goes. They all do the same thing. They produce a starting point from which all other operations relative to frequency are established. In keeping with simplicity, let's use the crystal oscillator as an example. A crystal, normally the size of a postage stamp, but slightly thicker, is made out of a material that, when excited from an external source, will start to vibrate, oscillate, in other words, at the resonant frequency to which that crystal was cut. If this outside source of excitation is allowed to continue, the crystal will oscillate virtually forever. This outside source is normally a simple vacuum tube or transistor that is coupled in a manner to the crystal that provides feedback voltage to maintain its oscillation. If the design of this transmitter provides for the output frequency of the transmitter to be the same as the crystal frequency, we have what is called a straight-through circuit. There are some further circuits between the antenna and the oscillator in most cases, and these will be discussed shortly. But if the oscillator is on a frequency lower than that which the transmitter output will be on, additional stages called multipliers stages will be utilized. Let me buy another second here. I'm trying very carefully not to time anybody out. This is KY6B. All right, let's form a mental picture of what is happening and what is going to happen. Now, put your thinking cap on here, guys and gals. In your mind, place this oscillator circuit that we just discussed to the left side of this mental picture, and what will be the final amplifier and its associated antenna on the right side of the picture. You can even draw one out if you care to. At this time, it is important to realize that the entire RF chain of circuits will be in series, with the oscillator first, the final amplifier last. And you'll find the next stage to the right of the oscillator is normally what is called a buffer. This is a vacuum tube or transistor which may or may not exhibit gain that isolates the oscillator from the rest of the world. The reason for this is to keep any other influences from degrading the operation of the oscillator, such as additional loading, which could affect the oscillator's stability or function. So the output of the oscillator is wired to the input of the buffer, and the output of the buffer is wired to the next stage, which may be a multiplier or a straight-through amplifier. So let's take the straight-through amplifier first and call it a driver. It amplifies the signal to a higher level than what it had received from the buffer, and its output will be wired to the input of the final amplifier. Remember again, we're all in series here. The final amplifier again increases the level of the signal, and its output is coupled to the antenna of choice. Refreshing the system. Okay, let's review what we have. We've talked about a four-stage transmitter, starting with a crystal oscillator, followed to the right by a buffer, followed to the right by a driver, followed by a final amplifier, followed by the antenna. Now let's say the crystal was cut to operate at 7.2 megahertz, and that's the middle of the 40 meter phone band. The output of the transmitter is operating at the same 7.2 megahertz frequency. This all means that you are transmitting and producing 7,200,000 hertz per second, or 360 times higher in frequency than the highest frequency that the human ear can hear. That's sort of neat, isn't it? Getting back to the multipliers, if the crystal frequency is below the wanted transmitter frequency, or a multiplier stage is inserted between the buffer and the driver stage. Now, a multiplier is a circuit that operates on the harmonic of the previous stage. This is to say, as an example, if your crystal was cut for 3.6 megahertz and the multiplier was tuned to 7.2 megahertz, you would have a doubler type multiplier, and that's simply 3.6 megahertz times 2 equals 7.2 megahertz. So it goes without saying that you will need a power supply, either internal or external, to supply the necessary voltage to the circuits in the transmitter. The individual tubes or transistors are a matter of design. If, for example, you would like to have a 25-watt transmitter, consult the specification books, pick a device that will produce 25 watts, determine how much drive power that device requires, then choose a driver tube or transistor that is capable of delivering that power, and so on down the line backwards. I would like to say I was licensed in 1949 at the age of 12. I built my first transmitter, I might add, from an ARRL article in the same year. There's a 25-watt transmitter using an 807 in the final. Had a 6AG7 driver and a crystal oscillator. I had loads of fun building it and using it. And this discussion tonight is bringing back fond memories. This is KY6V for the South Cars TNT. Refreshing the system, please. All right, we're throwing an awful lot here without asking questions, but I've got just a little bit further that I'd like to go in this section, and then we'll open it up for one and all. Transmitter audio and modulation. Since we have already discussed microphones in general, let's start back up at the end of the microphone cable. You know, that's the end that you plug into the radio. The first audio stage within a transmitter is normally a mic amp, a mic amplifier. This amplifier amplifies the low level from the mic to a usable level within the unit. This circuit, as discussed earlier, must be designed to be flat and pass everything between its input and output with total integrity. At this junction, or juncture, further stages are mode dependent. This means that different circuits will be necessary depending if the audio is used for single sideband, FM frequency modulation, AM amplitude modulation, or a transmitter called an OTW, that's an off-the-wall transmitter application. So let's look at each mode briefly. Single sideband suppressed carrier is a technique that does away with one side of the RF carrier selectable, and that is selectable, inserts the audio into a portion of the RF process where the signal is only detectable when audio is being delivered to the system. Frequency modulation generally has a stage subsequent to the mic audio amplifier called a limiter, which restricts audio excursions beyond a preset level. The audio from this limiter is then injected into the transmitter oscillator circuit whereby any audio excursions, be it amplitude or frequency, shifts the oscillator frequency in keeping with and in harmony with the audio. In an amplitude modulated system, the audio is further amplified, sometimes with several stages, and is fed to the primary of a modulation transformer, whose secondary is placed in series with the positive plate supply of the final amplifier tube or transistor. The audio excursions that are present in the secondary of the modulation transformer swings the plate voltage on the final amplifier at the audio rate of the amplitude and frequency. This results in an audio signal superimposed, I want to make sure I'm not timed out here, superimposed on the RF carrier. And lastly, the OTW, you know, the off-the-wall system, are obviously application-dependent and further dependent on the sanity of the designer. So, at this point, I would like to turn it back to Tony for questions, comments, and where he would like to take it from here. KJ4PUJ from KY6V, please.
Thank you, Gordon, and I'll give you a moment here to take a sip of your drink. This last section, and I have an advantage in that I have the material in front of me. You talked about the four types of carrier waves, and one of the questions that I get asked frequently by new hams or people interested in becoming a ham operator is, you know, obviously which signal will carry the farthest with the least amount of power. Using this last paragraph and these four types of carrier signals that you just described, would you care to touch on that briefly?
Certainly, that's a good question, Tony. KY6V here. Well, you know, they all have their place in time. Your question, I didn't write this down, but was basically surrounding what is the most efficient signal at the lowest power to communicate the best. And I'll have to tell you that that's CW, an unmodulated carrier, or some of the packetized digital aspects like PK31 that are on the scene today. Followed very quickly with single sideband. Well, it's a toss-up between AM and FM. One has to sit back and understand how these different modes work. Bandwidth, as an example, on an AM transmitter is 6 KCY. So you're occupying a lot of space. Bandwidth on a single sideband transmitter, whether you're on lower sideband or upper sideband, is about 3 KC. So you're shortening the effect of multi-signals on the band when you use a shorter bandwidth, obviously. FM comes in narrowband FM, wideband FM, so on and so forth. They're now talking about taking the standard down to 2.5 KC as opposed to the 5 KC that we're familiar with on the current 2-meter and UHF frequencies. So I don't know if I've adequately answered your question, but if you want the best bang for the buck, keep the modulation off, use CW, or a digitized mode of operation such as PacTor. KY6V, back to you, sir.
KJ4PDJ, and yes, you did answer my question. And so as not to hog your time, I'm going to open it up right now. If anybody has any questions for Gordon at this time, please either throw something there in the text box or come now with your call sign. Suffix only, please. Okay, hearing nothing over the air and seeing nothing in the text box. Gordon, since we're at roughly 39 minutes and change into the hour, if you're ready, why don't we go ahead and move on to Section 4?
I'd like to defer on that for several reasons. I certainly can, but it's going to be lengthy. Section 4 covers receivers. We get into it rather deeply when we're talking regenerative type receivers and super heterodynes and super heterodyne double conversion and so on and so forth. It's a very involved subject, and I wouldn't want to throw too much out in one night. But if you want me to go into it, I'd be happy to, sir. Over.
No, sir. I will defer to your judgment, and we'll save that for the next episode. Are there any questions out there? Once again, for Gordon, KY6B, he's given us an excellent introduction into the basics program and the electronic understanding of it. And I can tell you, as someone who is not a technical person, it is very much appreciated. And I notice we have several TNT and SCARS regulars joining us this evening. So, folks, if you've got a question, now's the time to come aboard. Remember, we are being recorded, and, you know, it may not benefit you, but it may benefit somebody who's listening to the podcast later. And I see that Pete, VE2XPL up in Montreal, has a question. Pete, come aboard, please, sir. Okay, Pete, we'll come back to you in a couple minutes. I'll give you a chance to fix your problem there. I see a message in the text box. It looks like we've had about an average of 18 folks connecting tonight, and we've got 6 different countries connected at one time or another, so appreciate that. Tonight, TNT Open Forum, we're talking about Back to Basics. I am KJ4PUJ, your net control for this evening, and your host has been KY6V. Or I should say your presenter in KY6V, Gordon from Central Florida. Gordon, any comments before we start wrapping things up?
Yeah, thanks. So I'm having trouble with this microphone cable. I guess I'm going to have to probably succumb and change this headset out. It's a very fine cable, and it's getting a little scratchy, and it's inline. mute switch arrangement. And gives me this crackling. You know, as we go through this series, Tony, and I hope that we have the interest out there for it, we're going to be talking about a lot of things. We're going to go into receivers next, as you mentioned, and then we're going to be talking about antennas and feed lines and the proper way of measuring SWR and making your system as effective as it can be. We're going into a general overview of digital communication and how it's generated and how it's manipulated, and we're going to be getting into a section of down home troubleshooting. Not without, you know, all of these $20,000 and $30,000 pieces of test equipment, but doing it with what you've got on hand and the knowledge that you've gained at the piece of apparatus that you're going to start attacking. So a lot of interesting points. We're trying to not take this to a real deep technical level. We're trying to make it a general overview. As an example, we've talked about transmitters here tonight, Tony. If a person has just a general understanding that this is the way it goes, everything's in series. It starts with the oscillator and it pumps out at the end of the final amplifier and then goes to your antenna. When you start developing problems, you have an idea of where to start looking in that chain of events. So with that said, sir, back to you. And I see copy Pete from, you were sending that to, Pete, and I see that he's fixed. So give him the microphone, Tony, KY6V, over.
Copy that, sir. Pete, VE2XPL up in Montreal. Come aboard, sir.
Yeah, roger that. I am fixed. Let it be known throughout the land. Thanks, gentlemen. Excellent presentation. I enjoyed it. I had to step away for about 10 minutes while I was tucking in my daughter, who has been sick, so I have to give her a little bit of extra attention. But I have a couple of questions. I'll throw them out at you one at a time. The first one, I may be getting ahead of myself, or you may already have explained it, and if you do, just let me know, and I'll go back to the recording. But since you talked a little bit about frequencies, I'm just wondering if you could explain what zero beating is and how people can go about that, if that is pertinent. And if you're going to cover that in a future episode, then that's not a big deal. We'll just skip to the second question. Back to you.
Well, that's a nice question. I like that, Pete. Thank you, KY6V. No, it's not in the agenda, so let's cover it here as adequately as we can. Zero beating is when you take two carriers and you tune one carrier to the center of the initial carrier and you no longer hear a sound. You are there for zero beat. As you move off one side to the other, that second carrier will create a heterodyne and it will keep climbing in frequency or lower in frequency the further you tune away from center. The back in the good old days, we don't do that too much today with our digital readouts and so on and so forth that take us down to 4 points to the right of the decimal. You would have a crystal calibrator in your receiver, and you want to calibrate exactly where you are. That crystal calibrator is calibrated against WWV, as an example. Occurs depending on how it's set up, but normally every 25, 50 to 100 KC across the band when you turn it on. So what you do is you zero beat WWV and adjust your beat frequency oscillator so that it is dead zero beat with the National Bureau of Standards. Then you go back to your receiver knowing that this signal that you are producing from your beat frequency oscillator has been calibrated, you can now calibrate the dial calibration on the old analog type receivers so that you know that you're where you think you are. And I can tell you, back in the good old days, you know, that I couldn't wait to get a Collins receiver because they were the most accurate. I had a 75A2 was the first Collins receiver I had, and a beat frequency oscillator, and I went through all this gymnastics. And I could calibrate down to within a half a KC. A half a KC. And I thought this was swinging. And now today, if you don't have four decimals or four places to the right of the decimal, you say, something's wrong. Go ahead, Pete, KY6A.
Yeah, very good. Excellent explanation. Thank you very much. I'm interested because I have two units. One has a BFO, the Drake 2B, of course, and then the good old FT-101 that you have to do exactly that to tune every once in a while. And even then, I'm still a couple of kilocycles off. I figure it's an old unit. And it needs some work. You know, the knobs are kind of all loosey-goosey, but that's all right. It's a lot of fun to play with. My second question is, when you're talking about human voice and frequencies, I thought that was interesting. And I've heard some people talk about how they can use their voices to maximize their chances of getting through pileups, especially people who like to contest. And I don't know if you know anything about that or if you can use your voice in conjunction with moving off the frequency a little bit just to get that little extra punch. Does that ring a bell for you, sir? Back to you.
Yeah, we touched on it just a tad earlier this evening. Pete, KY6V here. You know, if you're really into a hot DX spot, you got 14,233 guys with great big beams and 100-foot towers and running the full 1,500 watts of power and some even more, it's hard to break through. So a lot of the tricks are in the trade is, yes, you can move a little off frequency, but you don't want to go too far because you really start sounding like Donald Duck. The most effective system that I know right now, well, it's twofold. If you have a audio processor on your transceiver, you turn that on, okay? That gives you maximum audio punch for the dollar that you're putting in. But a lot of the guys are going to some of these Heil DX mics. They are designed, and I mentioned this earlier, where the lower frequency is cut off and you have a higher pitch presentation. When you start talking, it's like your shorts are tight, and that'll get you through better than just about anything that I've mentioned, though.
Yeah, very good. Roger that. Thanks for that. Yeah, they have the same thing, actually, on little mixing consoles. They have the have it on this one right here. I don't know if it makes a difference, but they have something called the low cut, which you use when you're doing sound reinforcement for voice. So if I take the low cut off, this is going straight through. I should have a little bit more bass in my voice, and putting the low cut on should bring the mids back up a little bit. So I don't know if that made a difference, but you can tell me. Very good. Well, thank you very much. That was my questions. Back over to Gordon, KY6V. Thanks for the presentation.
Okay, well, let me turn it back to Tony Pete and see if he'd like to parley anybody else that's got something in order. I see we have about 20 assembled here as we speak, Tony. KY6V, go ahead, sir.
Thank you, sir. KJ4PUJ here. And we do. We've had a peak of about 20 people. We've had people from Australia, Canada, England, Scotland, and the USA check in tonight. And a great many of the senior staff has checked in as well. Jim and Kathy and yourself and Pete and Sarah and Bill and Craig have all checked in. So it's nice to see everybody gathered together in an evening, especially in the middle of the week, and we appreciate it. That being said, I'm going to change topics here just briefly. And does anybody have any questions for Gordon KY6V on the Back to Basics presentation or on anything related to the electronics part of our hobby? If just because we haven't talked about it yet, if you've got a question on your mind, please feel free to ask. This is KJ4PUJ. Either come now with your call sign or throw something in the text box. And Jim, I'm going to throw it to you because I saw you put something in there. Go ahead, Jim.
Thanks, Donnie. This is KJ4WKD, Jim, in North Carolina. Just a general comment and I guess a general question. I wanted to say this is a excellent, excellent presentation tonight that you guys have put together, particularly Gordon. I've read the text, and my general question is for Gordon, how far are you, and I didn't, I did a naughty thing, I didn't pull up the text before the program. How far are you straying, or how far ahead are you going from the text? And obviously, I'll be listening to the recording again and again, probably. Very, very good. But I'm just curious, and it's I can figure that out. But how much more have you jammed into this presentation than you put in the original text? Over.
Not a whole lot, Jim. Good evening. You rascal, I thought maybe you had gone to South Carolina. You've been so quiet up there in North Carolina today. The way we've been beating the email back and forth, I was surprised not to see you on my silver screen. No, I've been pretty well staying with the text, embellishing it slightly, Jim, but not to any magnitude. And we went up through subject 3. We're holding tough and not presenting subject 4. We're going to get into receivers here the next first Thursday of next month. And that in itself is more involved, and I didn't want to throw too much out on the first time, Jim. Over.
Yes, sir. Thank you. That's good to know. I like text. I like to read. And as to the emails, I tried to leave you alone a little bit today and a little yesterday. I know you're covered up, and I'm not the only guy that needs your attention. And got a project that Tony and I are working on as well. And another thing that hit home that you said in the introduction was that too many hams are becoming plug-and-play. And I, for one, don't want to be a plug-and-play ham. So that's why I find this very, very interesting and very inspiring. And down to earth, actually, one of the most understandable presentations on this topic that I've read, I guess that negates reading as opposed to listening, huh? But when you do it, Gordon, you do it in such a way, it just makes it make sense. KJ4WKD, back to net control, our presenter.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate that, sir. We're just trying to make it simple, but hopefully understandable. Go ahead, Tony, sir. KY6V, back to net control.
Thank you, sir, and I'm going to echo my partner in crime's sentiment. Very, very easy to understand. And as you know, I don't come from a strong technical background, so having gone over some of the preparation for this class, it is very easy to understand material. And again, for those of you listening on a podcast, or maybe listening at home, walking around the kitchen or walking around your home, if you missed part of the presentation, it will be available on the podcast. You can go to the website, voip.southcars.com. Go to the lower left section, click on the podcast, and it will take you to there, and it should be up within a day or two. Also, if you have any specific questions that you wish to ask Gordon, you can send an email to voip@southcars.com, and we will get your questions answered as quickly as possible. Gordon, is there anything you want to add before we start wrapping up?
Well, I will say this. My red phone is ringing. That's a hotline to the staff. I don't think you've got an extension plugged in, but you're going to get one. I think Kathy would like to jump in with a comment, sir. Over.
As usual, never a problem for Miss Kathy. K6SUN, please come aboard now.
Well, good evening, Tony and Jim, and I see Graham connected, and everyone connected tonight, especially Gordon. I just want to make a comment that I thought it was a fantastic presentation. I did read Back to Basics when I was studying, I believe, for my extra, maybe my general. It did give me a lot of information that helped me greatly. So I want to say that, and his presentation tonight was excellent. And once again, everyone, it is on the website under the SCARS download. If you have not printed it and read it, it's excellent. And I do know that he did a PowerPoint at one point with audio, so I don't know if that's available on the website or not, but it probably soon will be. But I just wanted to make a comment about the microphone, if I may, Tony, and that is way back to when he was talking about the microphone. When I began as a ham, I had the desk mic. And that did not work very well for me. Then I used my microphone inside my computer, my laptop. That didn't work. So now I have a Logitech, which has worked pretty good. So as Gordon said, you know, you have to find the right headset. I also do have an HF radio with the microphone, which I haven't used very much. But I did want to say how great I thought it was tonight and how many people were connected and then enjoy listening. So that was just a comment I wanted to make. So I'll turn it back to you, Tony, and glad you were here tonight. PUJ, KJ4PUJ, please come back.
Thank you, Ms. Kathy, and I enjoyed your ladies' Saturday morning on Saturday. I'm glad I was able to stop by briefly. All right, I'm going to break with you and throw it out there one more time. If there's any questions from our audience or any of the assembled listeners hiding behind repeaters, folks, if you're listening through a repeater on an HT or on a base station and you have a question, you know, please come now with your suffix and we'll be happy to try and answer it for you. This is KJ4PUJ and this is the TNT Open Forum, and we are beginning our series on Back to Basics. Please come now.
Oh, yeah. You? Delta 4, Oscar, Victor, Internet Control.
Craig, I copied you, but I'm going to go to the station coming through George's repeater first. To the station that came through KW4LCB's repeater in Central Florida, please come now.
Thank you very much for holding the net tonight, and you participated in that. I think it would help a lot of people that are listening attentively, getting back into basics again. That's where we all started at basic. Down to the tube level and now to the transistor and these great computers out there. I think the next topic, I think in a digital sense would be the one to tackle. Since most of your equipment are semi-digital and analog, and those two in today's world go hand in hand. Back to net control. KD4 Oscar Victor India.
Well, thank you, Oscar Victor India. And I'm going to ask real quick, since I have not chatted with you before, are you a South Cars member?
Yes, sir. Sir, 169er, over.
Outstanding, and by that number, you've been a member for quite some time. Well, thank you for stopping by the TNT Open Forum tonight. And Gordon, I'm going to let you handle the man's question, talking about digital and combining it with analog and things like that. Do you foresee some discussion on that in the upcoming episodes?
Yes, sir. We sure do, Tony. Thank you. Hi, Pete. There's a whole section that we're going to be covering in this series on digital. We're going to talk about the guy that fell out of bed, hit his head on the floor, came up with this on and off sequence, and then massaged his world into the ASCII 2, the ASCII. We're going to talk about parity bits. We're going to talk about checksums, and we're going to talk about Pete. How about that, Pete? Over.
That's directed to me. I appreciate it. Over.
I was directing it to you, Pete. Thank you, sir. Rest assured, we're going to get into the digital world because we're all in it whether we like it or not. Back to you, Tony, KY6V.
Thank you, Gordon. I'm going to break with you real briefly, but I have a feeling we'll be coming right back to you because QQ, Craig, up in New Jersey, had a question. Craig, come aboard. Nice to talk with you again, sir.
And it's always great to hear your voice and everyone else is on the net. I just wanted to throw out my accolades as well. Gordon, great job. This is what radio is all about, literally, and great job. Always good to come back and get a refresher on all the basics. And when you're talking about digital, don't forget my favorite, the cyclical redundancy check. Hi. Great job, Gordon. Really appreciate it. And, just wanted to make that comment, and I'm going to listen out. 73. WE2Q.
Hey, great, Greg. Let me make sure I got it, and I'm not doubling with Tony here. Thank you, kind sir. Well, it's going to be a month or two down the pike. Maybe next month we'll get into the digital aspect where we're talking with Pete about. Sure like to have you in my corner. You know, with the degree that you posturize, it's good to have some arm support, Greg. Over.
I am here, and the work is such that I should be free pretty much lately for the next several months. Things look good, so be happy to do what I can. Let me know how I can assist. It'd be my pleasure.
Thank you, kind sir. And I had some great email run across my silver screen here this morning. Your sister will be joining on the TNT session here next week, which is going to be a ladies' night. Very pleased to hear that. I understand there was a little confusion that some might have thought that it was tonight, but I think that got worked out in email fashion. Is that correct, Greg? Over.
Yes, sir. I think it started with me having my calendar in the wrong place and sent her a copy of that. But only took a couple emails back and forth real quick to make sure it was next week, and she's online. She should have an interesting story. She's gone from having absolutely nothing to an extra VE, very involved in CW and the Nets and Racies and the whole works. So she's really got into it in full swing.
I remember when she first came aboard. That's great, Craig. I don't want to monopolize things here on you, Tony, but just one more quick comment. Is she aware of what we're doing with the CW class that is currently running? We ran our second class session last Tuesday, started on Sunday the 30th. We'll be running this through about the 22nd of February. We've got 18 students strong and all dedicated, and we're having fun. So if she can contribute, we'd love to have her, Greg, over.
I did mention that to her. She absolutely loves CW and had planned on catching as many of those as she can. She unfortunately had it was either Racy's or CERT meeting this last one and was not able to do it. But she is quite interested in doing that. She hadn't been following South Cars too much. She was very busy up there, but I think she's back in the swing, especially with the CW coming down the line.
Okay. Well, next time you talk with her, mention that the podcast, we're recording each of the code classes, and that'll be on our website, so she wants to get the flavor of how things are going. She's more than welcome to go that route, too. Back to you, Tony. I'm showing 8 minutes into the hour and counting from KY6V.
Not to that, sir, and since you two were talking about it, I'll take this moment to pitch the CW class. Anyone that can hear my voice, the VYP operations here on South Cars, VYP.SouthCars.com. On Sunday and Tuesday evenings at 1900 Eastern, that would be 0000 Universal Coordinated Time, we are running a CW class. The first two sessions were this past Sunday and Tuesday evening. It's not too late. If you're interested, you can send an email to voip@southcars.com, and we'll get you signed up and we'll get you started. And there are podcasts that you can catch up. And it's going really well. Like Gordon said, we've got 18 people signed up so far. And I'm going to buy a nickel here. along those lines. We've also got material. If you know anybody who's interested in getting into the hobby and starting off, or if you're willing to or looking to upgrade your license, it's for those of you in the United States, to either a general or an extra, we have training material up on the website, and it's there for you to use and study and move forward. We're also looking for net control stations, hospitality specialists, behind-the-scenes support staff. So if you think you've got, maybe just a little bit of time to help us out each month, it would be greatly appreciated, and it's always welcome. So before I time out, are there any last questions for Gordon, KY6B, regarding the Back to Basics presentation that we've done this evening? Please come now, suffix only, or put something in the text box. Okay, hearing nothing, I'm going to quickly go back to VE2XPL, the TNT Net Manager. And Pete, do you have any closing thoughts for this evening?
Be kind to each other. Thanks, everyone, for being there. Thanks for the presentation. Indeed, I think that a lot of people appreciated the effort that you guys put forth tonight, and so do I. And I look forward to next month and part two. So with that, I'll pass it back to you. Do I have anything else to say? No, not at this time. I'm looking at my notes, and everything's fine. The skies are still clear, and there's no snow in the forecast for the next day, but it is going to be chilly. So have a good week, everyone, and we'll talk to you in 7 days. Thank you, KY6V. Thanks to all of our listeners, and back to you, Tony. Thanks for being there. KJ4PUJ from V2XPL.
Thanks, Pete. And just as a reminder, next Thursday, February 10th at 2000 Eastern, 0100 Zulu on the 11th, K6SUN will be hosting a ladies forum and how amateur radio relates and how women have participated in the hobby over the years and how their numbers are increasing. And that being said, I'm going to call on K6SUN. Ms. Kathy, would you care to comment further on your presentation coming next week?
Well, thank you, Tony. You caught me a little bit off guard, though. But, yes, I'd like to just tell you what we're going to talk about. We do have a lot of women hams, and I want to talk to them about how they became interested. My story, as well as a lot of other ladies. I think maybe I may have 4, 5, 6 ladies that will be joining us. And we do want you gentlemen as well to be in there. But it's how we became interested in the hobby, how we've taken it, how our future will be, who got us interested in the hobby. And I'm really looking forward to it. And I do hope that everyone joins us to participate as well. But we do have quite a few ladies that will be joining us. You heard about WE2Q's sister. And I can't remember her call sign, WW1N, I believe. And Pete's wife and two daughters will be joining us as third parties. Marilyn, Doug's wife, will be joining us. Sarah, KC4TXG, Debbie. So we have quite a few joining us, and I hope that you'll join us as well. I'm really looking forward to it. I have tons and tons of fun. And thanks, Tony, for giving me the opportunity to invite everyone. So I hope everyone has that on their calendar. Join us. It's just before Valentine's Day, by the way, and just before the Orlando Ham Fest. So I'm really looking forward to it. I'll turn it back to you, Tony, and thanks so much. KJ4PUJ. I think we'll have...
Thanks, Ms. Kathy. And gentlemen, just a suggestion, if you've been trying to get your wife or your girlfriend interested in amateur radio, this would be a good presentation for her to listen to. Or your daughter or, you know, a significant woman in your life, they can see that there are other women in it, and it is doable. So, Kathy, I'm going to break with you, and real quick, Jim, KJ4W Kilo Delta, do you have any closing comments, sir?
Gosh, Tony, I wasn't paying attention. But, I gave my analysis, which was excellent presentation, and I'd like to thank Gordon, KY6V, for everything he does for South Cars and all of its newbies out here, especially his commentaries on the license upgrade classes that we had last year, and I'm sure he's going to be deeply involved this year. And the Morse code class, of course, is going great. I'm doing well, and I think everyone's doing well. So he always brings success when he comes to the table. So with that, KJ4WKD, back to you, Tony.
Thanks, Jim, and I'm going to echo that. He does a world of good for South Park. And that being said, are there any closing comments or questions or anything from the general audience before I give Gordon his last shot? Please come now, suffix only, or throw something in the text box. This is KJ4PUJ. Go ahead, Pete.
Ned, I'd like to discuss something with KY6V, if possible, over.
Well, we're getting ready to close Ned probably within the next 5 minutes, and then you can go ahead and go direct with him. I'm sure he'll stand by for that.
Thank you very much, Katie, for Oscar Vicente.
All right, hearing nothing else, or seeing nothing else in the text box, I'm going to pass it over to Gordon, KY6D, sir, for your closing comments. And after that, we'll wrap it up and put the cows to bed.
Well, I hope Pete is standing by to give that final moo. He does such a great job on that. Thank you, Tony. Gordon here, KY6V. Pete, I'll stick around after this. If you give me a chance to walk down the hall and turn left, I'll be right back. The first Thursday of next month, we'll be picking up this particular program segment again. Tony, as you know, and we will be starting off on receivers and how they work and how they're put together and what series networks are involved. And then we're going to go on, if time permits, and I'm sure it will, to get into power supplies. We're going to talk about switching power supplies, standard power supplies, different rectification systems, different uses for different applications. And we may or may not get into the next area, which will be the digital communication that we've already talked about, and I'll try and get Greg lined up to come on in with me on that one, because he's had a world of experience as well. So that's it. Good night, everybody, and thank you, Tony. Muchas gracias, senor, from KY6V.
De nada, mi amigo, from Loqueza. Folks, we're going to close up the net now. This has been South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Services. VOIP schedules and general information may be found on the VOIP website at www.voip.southcars.com. Your net control for the session has been myself, Tony, KJ4PUJ, from the Florida Keys, reminding all of you once again that if you have any comments or questions after the show, you can send us an email to voip@southcars.com, and that will get to the right person and will get you the information you need. Having said all that, I'm going to wish everyone a pleasant evening or a pleasant day, depending on where you are. We had over 20 stations connect tonight, 4 repeaters. We had folks from Australia, Canada, England, Scotland, and the United States check in. And we appreciate it. And as I look in the text box, Kathy is recruiting once again. Thank you, Ms. Kathy. Folks, I'm going to wish you all 73. Have a great week. We've got nets almost every day of the week. Check in as often as your schedule permits. Remember to take care of your family, your pets, yourselves. Thanks again for your participation. Good night. The net is now closed and returning the servers to normal amateur radio operation. This is KJ4PUJ from the Florida Clears. From the Florida Keys, and I'll be clear.